You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Skibidi-doo. Hello, everybody. This is JP. This is Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, at revolution-radio.com, at wolfspiritradio.com, everbeyondradio.com, and yeah, that's about it for the moment. Yeah. So, good afternoon, good evening. We, as I said, we're on Revolution Radio, which is indeed a listener-supported radio station, and your pennies help this thing happen. That's why you don't hear adverts for Berkey water supplies or but you know, all those things that, you know, the annoying things. So the reason that they do that is so that people can make contributions out of your own heart. Thank you for making those contributions. We're very grateful for them, and that helps to run the servers, basically. Nobody gets paid for it. So if you would like to drop a penny in the coffers, there's various buttons at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, and you can get a seed pack, which is what I always like to recommend, because they're brilliant. I got one this year from a listener. So this is another thing, indeed. If you would like to support another host, what you can do is you can sponsor them. You can buy, why don't you buy yourself a seed pack and buy one for them, or maybe buy yourself a seed pack, buy another friend a seed pack, and buy one for a host or your favorite announcer there at Revolution Radio, because that will support them, that will support you, and it'll support the host in a way that would be beyond pennies, beyond cents and dollars. So thank you very much for doing that. If anybody's interested in doing that for any of the hosts, we're all poor, you know. It's usually the host and their cat or something like that, and it's a hard life out here in the cold light of truth. Anyway, tonight I was hoping to have a guest, and he has not appeared yet. I'm gonna just try and bring him in. Just to surprise him. Hello, you're on there. And if not, we're going to bring in some other people. Right, my guest was going to be David Coney, who is a card reader, and a very intuitive one at that. And he was on Eva's show last night, if anybody was listening to Evolution. And so people were calling in, and he was doing some really good readings. And so I asked him on the show tonight, just to kind of continue this, bring another fellow from Boise, Idaho, but he's not there. So, I've got my angel cards. So, I'll pull a card for you, if you like. I will read a card, which is from the angel card deck of Findhorn. So, I'll basically, it's a word that is written on the angel card, and they're pretty good. They're pretty accurate at finding out what the energy, I mean, basically an angel represents a kind of energy. And so, for instance, one might pull out a card, Grace, and you may have found yourself in a situation where, or you may find yourself looking forward or fearing a situation where you have to be really, really careful. And so the angel of Grace would be something that you would ask for, or that would be an energy that you can surround yourself in or vibrate to. So that you create a field around you, like the rings of Saturn, that would that kind of protect you in a field of grace, because grace is an energy. Everything's an energy, and all of these energies have power, and they also have a personality, and that's what we call an angel. If that makes a better sense to you than calling them angels and, you know, this and that, and In Findhorn in northern Scotland, near where I live, there's a cafe, and when you stand in the queue for the cafe, because you always have to stand in the queue for hours, because there's just one person there that's making a handmade latte, grinding the beans, taking the time, being at peace, everything's peace and love. Meanwhile, there's several people waiting in the queue. Anybody who's ever been to Findhorn will recognize that scenario. So, halfway along the counter, while you're waiting in the queue, is a little bowl. And in the bowl is a bowl of angel cards. And so, while waiting for your latte, waiting for the turn for the latte to be produced for you, you can go along and, you can pull out a and you can pull out a card, and the card I've just randomly pulled out there is the card of celebration. So it actually is a guy in a white suit with a head. It looks like Elvis dancing. There's a finger pointing out in the sky. Actually, it looks like the Baphomet ceremony. That's very interesting. Anyway, there's the angel of celebration there. So there's plenty of things. So if you want to call in, you can. There's so many ways of calling in. You can call in through the Wolf Spirit radio number. You can call in through the Revolution radio number. You can come in by telepathy if you like. I'll just pick out a card at random and read something. No, actually, I prefer to talk to people. If you would like to call in. So, how are we? The Revolution radio number is 347. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's not. That's the other one. Is it? Oh, really? Ah. That's not. Have they changed the number? Anyway, yes, it's 310-421-4053. That's 310-421-4053. But actually, I've got my own internet numbers. So if you want to call into Journeys with JP or anything on Wolf Spirit Radio, you can call in on 775-773-3431, which is a much easier number to remember. Yes, indeed. While I was talking about the seed pack, do check out the new seed pack, because we've got the new 2014 seeds. Just get in touch with Hawk, you know, just make an order and he'll talk you through it. What's in Naples long? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's something else. Anyway, I see. Right. Makes a 100-pound squash. Well, I have to say, that in terms of, growing things this year, I don't know whether it's a lack of the pollinating insects around this year. But I had very disappointing results. I had fantastic bean plant growth, lots of green, lots of leaf, and the flowers started, and then nothing happened. And I got one squash. And when I say it's a squash, it's more like a bulbous yellow courgette, zucchini. I haven't eaten it yet because I'm waiting for a ceremony, but it's in my cupboard. So it wasn't, I cannot boast of, excessively sized vegetables, even though Findhorn does. Anyway, so maybe it's my green fingers or lack of them. Perhaps I need remedial green fingering exercises or something like that. I'm pretty rubbish at doing gardening. Thing is, I'm really good at radio shows. My girlfriend's good at gardening, so she can do the gardening and I'll do the radio shows. Maybe. Anyway, so do call in, or you can call in on my Skype, and it's Freedom Screen 2, and I'll pull out an angel card. Maybe I'll get somebody to I'll ask some friends. I don't know. Let me just call in. Let's see if Michelle's there. So we'll see if Michelle's there, and drag her into the conversation. And if not, she's probably still out. No, she's out as well. Anyway, it's great talking on my own. But anyway, so I've got this bowl, and there must be about 50 or 60 angel cards in here. I think they started out about 20, 30 of them, and they were part of a game called the Game of Transformation. It's a kind of ascension practice, sort of game where you where they play at Findhorn. And of course, I'm just munging these cards around, and the card for peace enters. So perhaps while we're waiting, we can just allow the energy to settle for peace. As there's so much trouble in the world that we can all do of joining our minds together and just assuming that peace is a reality. You know, wasn't it amazing that peace broke out in 2014? Because at this moment, hey, Michelle, you're live on the air.
Hello, JP.
Hey, welcome. Did you just get in? Was that your throwing your keys down on the deck?
I was literally running up the stairs, and it was ringing in. I had it on my phone, but I wanted to talk to you from my laptop, so I thought I could get to the laptop. But second I got there, you stopped ringing. So.
Right. Okay. Well, there we go. So, welcome. This is Michelle Caruso, fellow host on Wolf Spirit Radio, and she's the one who's been doing this amazing graphic design for these wolf pictures and star pictures. So, yeah, it'd be nice to give you a bit of on-air kudos. How are you, my dear?
Thank you. I'm really great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm riding the wave, I think. That's the best way of putting it. There's some intense energies. Sean was just doing sort of what the astrology of the days is, and there's this Mars-Pluto-Uranus conjunction going on right now. And that kind of explains all this weird stuff that is bubbling up from past lives to be cleansed. Really what I've been going back to is where was the beginning? Where did it start? Where did this thing come in? And I had a very interesting journey earlier on, which took me back a very, very long time ago. So, maybe I'll talk about that, later or another time. But, so would you like me to, do an angel reading for you?
Sure.
So let's see. Let's pull out a card. So I've got this bowl. Education. There's an interesting one. So I'm gonna use the book because it's got this little how the hell are they organized? All right, resilience. I don't know. Okay, they are in relatively alphabetical order. Exploration. No, they're not. Education. There we go. All right. So they only have a little short thing. So this is your ability to learning from life's rich patterns. You may not be able to establish the curriculum, but you can affect what courses to take at any given time and how to apply your knowledge. Well, I mean, that for you, Michelle, that's something that kind of almost describes your life pattern, isn't it?
Totally, yeah. Well, even I have, right, so I do ritual work, so I have a magical name. And my magical name, which is Saliba, it means goddess of knowledge. So that's always, I'm always seeking, right? I'm always seeking education and learning and growth through education and learning from the masters and learning from the non-masters too, right? We can learn from everybody.
Sometimes the most stupid people can become your greatest teachers. Because they teach you about who you are. Yeah, exactly. You know, how you behave in front of an idiot really tells you a lot more about yourself than the, you know, how stupid someone is.
Well, you know, that kind of brings to my mind, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I every once in a blue moon I do this, and I saw a post on Facebook that was just so dumb to me. And I just couldn't believe that somebody actually wrote this and thought that way. And I just had to put in my perspective. I was just compelled.
You had to lay in there, did you?
Yeah, and I did it, you know, gracefully and tactfully. I'm not mean and stuff to people, you know. And I thought that meant it was okay, but. It was really...
You have a brilliant way of telling people that they're completely wrong in the gentlest way. You're a genius at that.
And I was, it was really haunting me. Like, I had so much regret after I put up the post, and I was doing some work, and it was just on my mind, and it kept bugging me. And I went back, and oh, and then it just, like, I finally got it out of my head for a little while, and then, you know, the solution, you know, the answer came in, like, loud and clear, and it was like, you know, you basically just, what you did really is say, my way is better than your way. And that's really what I did, right? Because that's what we do when we're doing something like that. And I was like, yeah, that's it. So I went and I deleted. I took it off. I felt bad. And I want to send the person a little message, but I haven't had the chance to. And I just feel bad that I put it up there. But it was my stuff. That was just my stuff coming up because I'm so... that way of thinking was a place that I had been at one point in my life, and it was something that I moved and feel I've evolved through. And I got caught up in seeing somebody else there, and, you know, not, you know, I'm saying it in a very just kind of funny kind of way. It's not like I actually sat there and consciously said, well, you know, I'll set this person straight. But I'm just saying, like, that's underneath, you know, underneath the agitation that I had by reading it, that's what that was about. So, but yeah, so I don't know why that just reminded me of what you
said. Well, nice. This is a really, 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 really old. Remember what I was saying? This is actually the energy of how evil started. I'm not kidding. Because they just wanted to help.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yes. They just wanted to help. They just wanted to make... It was a situation like global warming. And they thought that they could do it by using a blood sacrifice. And instead, it just opened the...
From your reading, right?
From this experience I had this afternoon. But it just brought everything into focus. And why we're all here and all this business. That was, quite an interesting time. And it's all part of this Uranus, Pluto's, Mars conjunction that is, you know, that, well, where we're revealed, what the hell is going on is revealed. And this is the time of revelation. And these experiences that we have, and these insights that we have, you know, even just like talking about this, these insights that we have are paving the way to producing a global consciousness that understands how it got here. Because, you know, the conversation was like, how can people be so stupid? And, you know, is it that the world is divided into stupid people and not stupid people? And, you know, is stupidity a virus, for instance? Is it an affection? Has it been deliberately applied? Is it something that's been spreading? You know, what is stupidity? Is it a kind of mist that is laid upon our minds by on something that blocks us from understanding what was the situation? What really has been going on? You know,
right? Or is anything really even stupid? Like, does that word even have any validity in this world? Right, because it's just our, to use that word, and I use it, right, but in or words like it, it's really we're placing a judgment, and we're placing a judgment from our own perspective, and none of us are perfect.
No, actually, right? So stupid, hang on, before we go there, stupid actually means in a stupor, you know, stupefied, in a stupor, which is means drugged. So essentially, it's like saying, "Oh, you're just a dope head," you know.
Right.
It's you're stupid that you're intoxicated by something. But what we're intoxicated by is stuff like propaganda and religion. Right. That's what we're stupefied by. We've deliberately dumbed down using religion and the browbeating of religion and its stupidity. Actually, religion itself purports some stupid ideas that are so unbelievable but you have to kind of wrap your head around them so much that your head becomes twisted, so that anything can be believed, because you start out from a base of something that is completely corrupt and unbelievable.
Anyway. Well, I like that you put that definition in there, because that's what bugged me about the whole thing, was this person, by the correct form of the word stupid, was in a stupor over a political figure. And, right, it was this in awe of this human being, like they're just some grand person. And that, to me, is something that I would consider stupid. I don't try to go around and say that to people, but if I'm going to think something stupid, that's something that falls into my mind when we hold another human being in awe above other human beings.
Okay, so what you're talking about is a person who gives a religious-like presentation to their object of affection.
Right.
And is idealizing. Now, idealism is indeed a stupefaction. Look at how fanatical idealists all over the world are causing problems. This is the beginning and the end of worship. This is the problem with worship. If you start worship, the end is fanaticism.
The idealism came up for me this week because it's in Kabbalah, I'm a Kabbalist. For the Sephiro Tifereth, idealism is a virtue. That's always kind of stood out to me, because I think idealist. And when I went to the philosophy, I had to go to the philosophy of idealism to start to understand why they call it a virtue. So there is a very big difference between the idealist, which what you just talked about, and the philosophy of idealism, which I just had to throw that in there just because that's the second time this week that word came up.
No, it's really good. It's really good. And basically the energy of idealism is basically a separative ideal. It's part of... Well, it's part of our original breakdown and programming by the Anunnaki, which is, if you remember, divide and rule, or divide and then distract. So that's the serpent of Adam and Eve, fame and all that stuff. You define a difference, and then you separate and say one is better than the other. And once you go down that road, and you hear people who manipulate other people, and they say something really nice, I love that. I love that brooch you're wearing. And you go up to them, and they just go, oh, it's such a beautiful brooch. And eventually you crack and say, oh, really? At that point, they've got you. All right? And then at that point, they can manipulate you because you just believe them saying, you believe them say, appreciating your thing, and then they can say, oh, such a shame about that weight loss failure of yours. You know what I mean? And suddenly, you were at peace. And suddenly you were raised up and then you were slapped down. Never happened to you?
Raised up and slapped down? Oh, many times.
And so this is the trick. This is the manipulator's trick. And the way you don't get manipulated, and it's really hard because they keep going at it.
I dated a master of one of those for many years.
Ah, so you are a swords person now. You have foiled arms. How do you deal with a person like that?
Get away. You gotta get away.
Run!
it's one of those relationships, those type of relationships. It's what I call a toxic relationship, right? So a toxic relationship we can learn and we can grow in, right? It is possible, but why would you want to? because you can learn and grow in a non-toxic relationship just as well.
Yeah, it's a bit like learning to play football underwater in a deep sea diving suit.
Yeah, or like maybe more relative to my experience, learning to play football in like a field of that's on fire, and the ball is like swords. Right? You can still play football, yeah, but why would you want to play under those circumstances? So that is the way I like. But what I found, because I had to really educate myself on what the difference was of an idealist and the definition of idealism, and then the philosophies of idealism. So, and I'm just going to state this because I thought this was really cool, and this I did identify, and then I understood why it was a virtue. But idealism, and this is from Wikipedia, idealism is the group of philosophies that which assert that reality, or reality as we know it, is fundamentally mental, mentally constructed, or otherwise immaterial. So did you know that?
Right. So it's saying that the realities that we experience are not real, that they're an ideal. And so because it's not real, it can be anything you want, and these are things that other people have wanted in the past, and in some of the ideals have proven popular, like Islamism or Christianity or Buddhism and things like that.
Yeah, so interesting. So, and then I really understood, you know, and I was like, okay, yeah, that's totally what I identify with, and that, you know, it is, and, you know, I think of Nancy's show, Cosmic Reality, and it was funny, you know, like how all the synchronicities of the universe and how everything goes, but, well, I mean, that's Nancy's show, is her Cosmic Reality, but we had a conversation earlier in the week, Nancy and Colleen and I, about, you know, bending reality and, you know, working with, you know, creating, you know, our own realities. So, and then it was like the next day that I came across this, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a virtue. Because it is. It's all just in our minds.
Exactly. Now, the problem is that people have been trying to inject ideals and ideas that are anathema to the human condition. That's what we call religions. You know, they're impossible situations that will always make you feel inadequate, or less than God, or less than worthy, so that you have to give your power away to some other thing that makes you behave in a particular way that is actually quite unnatural, but is considered normal. And, you know, depending on what your religion might be, it might be that blood sacrifice is your normal thing. You know, you may be a carnivore. You know, it may be a normal thing for you to have a steak. So it's not far away from the idea of, you know, well, we could slaughter one of our children. It's plenty of energy. They wouldn't mind.
I kind of like reject that. I eat steak, and I consider myself very far away from sacrificing.
Well, you know, you're eating the steak. You know, you're eating the
purpose of it. It's back to perception and perspective. And this is why, like, you know, I really try to come from a place that, and be compassionate about people's different perspectives and try to be in harmony with that. And, that's why I was upset with myself over, you know, my response to that book, because deep down inside, when I got underneath it all, I wasn't in harmony with that person. I wasn't being acceptant of what that person said. I was just doing the same kind of thing, but just on a different topic, you know, just from a different angle, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, this is part of what's going on this week. This is the Pluto. This is the inner saboteur. And I'm really glad that you caught it. And you should be too, because it's probably the first time you caught it. But we do.
No.
I'm trying to be good. But I mean, this stuff
it's
happens.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah. All right, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, Michelle. And this is what I used to find is that when I was triggered and trapped, it used to take me, when I was like in my 20s and 30s, used to take me months to get over something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And as I've grown and cleared, it takes me less and less time to get over things. Though there is less latency in this process.
And the process is a much easier process. So, like, once what used to take me, it wasn't just that it took me longer, but it was just like this, it was a very torturous experience, that period of time. But now I go through things much quicker. It depends on what it is. Like something like this, it wasn't a deep core issue kind of thing. So, you know, it was minutes really. But even something that's like a core issue for me, like, a few weeks ago, right, so I'm a Reiki master, so I'm always doing Reiki on myself and energy work on myself. So I think it was actually about 2 months ago, or maybe a little less, I have, every now and then I play around with the symbols that we use, because we use symbols in Reiki if you're not familiar, and I play around with them because I like to experiment on myself and, you know, try different things and then see how it all works in different combinations, and then it helps me with doing that for the client. So I use myself as the guinea pig because, you know, these symbols are very powerful, and if you mix them, they, you know, what they're doing is bringing your stuff up, and if you mix them, it can be, you know, overwhelming for somebody. So I try to play around with them. So I had this one symbol, there's this one symbol that is for mental and emotional, I'm sorry, it was a block symbol. So I thought, well, what if I have, like, I'm sure I have, like, my energy flows very nicely, but I'm sure that there's still, like, you know, there's subtle, very subtle things going on in certain places that I haven't gotten to yet, right? And so what I did was I took this symbol and I put it in like each of my chakras like 3 times or something, which is like, if you did Reiki, you would probably be like, what the hell did you do that for? Because that's like really ridiculous to do that to yourself. But I wanted to see, and I think part of it was just intuition, that, you know, it was my intuition saying, you know, you can handle what it's going to do and how it's going to affect you, so just do it. And so I had like this period of like, I think it was about 4 weeks of all of this stuff coming up that was really deep core old stuff. Some of it was past life stuff, really deep stuff. But so it was a lot, but it wasn't difficult. So like that's the big difference too with it. So like even things that I don't necessarily work out in a short period of time, like, you know, minutes or a day or something, things that will take a couple weeks or even months, because some of, you know, I do work on, you know, some of my core stuff from past lives and stuff like that. So they do take a while to work through, especially if they're subtle because they're not showing up frequently in your life. So it takes longer to work through them. But the process is so much easier, and I'm more like, I just know that there's a process, and you get that trust and that faith in the process that I'm going to work through this in my own time, in my own way. And in the meanwhile, I'm working through my stuff. I'm living my life, and I'm still in joy. I'm still in love, and I'm still in a, you know, in a good place.
Excellent. So this is the process that we're all talking, that I'm always talking about. The process is, and it's the process of clearing your energies, clearing the blockages, and the blockages are fears and traumas that have been placed in your body, perhaps in past lives, but also in this life as a reflection of those past life experiences, so that when one is triggered, when the present life one is triggered, you can go deeper and discover that it's a result of past life trauma that you can then, you then have the opportunity to clear. Is that right?
Yeah, but I'll tell you that I've been doing energy work for a very long time, and, you know, now doing the coaching for the last couple of years, and I'll tell you that there's so much stuff that we have that we're just not aware of from this life, that indirectly related to past lives, but there's so much stuff that we have in this life that we can really spend a lot of time and do ourselves a lot of really positive good in our life today, working through current life stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, like I'm saying, the current life traumas are a reflection. It's like a hologram of all the other lives you've had. And some of them you can't deal with, you know, unless you've gone along a particular amount of way. But we come loaded with them. It's like getting your laptop and it's got lots of pre-installed software on it that you might never use. But
I don't know if we come loaded with them. I don't know about that. How do you mean loaded? You mean like loaded as in like a software program that's loaded, or loaded as in like a lot in us?
Oh, right. No. Loaded in the same way that a software program is loaded.
Okay. All right.
So it's okay.
I would agree with that. Sorry.
Let me give you an example. Let me give you a potential example. Okay, so say I had a past life, long, long time ago, where I was somehow the victim of something that happened, and that was the last thing that ever happened to me. You know, that was my death, and because of the distress that I was holding at that moment, it has caused a fragmentation of my timeline. So that's what you call a blockage in my timeline, because there's a part there where things are broken and sore and raw and all that stuff. And then what happens is, as I go through my growth process, my soul will come in and say, aha, at this point I had a trauma, and there would be a weakness in my field at that point in that space that would then recreate the trauma, perhaps in a lesser way, but enough to trigger the distress of it. Now, if it's then repressed again, like it would normally be, you know, you're just a kid and something happens, and then along comes granny, why are you crying, here, have some ice cream, you'll feel better, you know, you never think about it again. But that trauma is there, and that ice cream becomes a little pocket of fat, and that little pocket of fat sits in your body until you are ready to deal with the trauma of not only the present life trauma, but also the past life trauma. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, totally. And I would totally agree with that. And if you want, I can share one of my experiences.
I would love you
personal,
to.
But so I had a reading done a couple years ago. It was a few years ago. I'll try to not make this story too long. So I had a reading done a few years ago, and in it, part of the reading was some of my past life emanations. And the way the reading worked, it was ones that are impacting my life today, right? So they're not the only ones that are impacting my life, you know, this lifetime, but the ones that were relative at this period of time in my life. And one of them, and there was a couple of them that had the same kind of theme, where basically I had a couple lives where I was an alchemist. And because of those periods of time, and I was always a female in form when I was in these lives of alchemy. And because of those periods of time, it was not accepted for a female to be an alchemist. And And this village I was living in was just this very patriarchal village, and we were like oil and water. So I leave the village and I find this master alchemist guy, and I go and work for him as his assistant, but I'm a female, so I can't truly be his assistant. I'm like his errand person, right? I'm not allowed to be a part of any of the work he's actually doing. So when he wasn't around, I would go through his stuff and get my learning. There's my learning card.
There's Mickey Mouse here.
So over time, he figured out what I was doing, and he shunned me. He sent me away. And there was no place that I fit in. And I went into the forest, and I lived in solitude, and my only connection, my only interaction with anything remotely human was on the astral, working with the masters to continue my education. And it was a very, very sad, lonely life. And so fast forward to present time. So she had told me about this story, and it rang true, right? Like, there's certain situations in my life that felt, right? A lot of times I felt very much alone, and I didn't feel I fit in. I didn't feel accepted. That was a theme in my life. So, more so when I was younger. But last year, I have a colleague of mine, a coaching colleague, and her and I are both energy workers, and we're both very similar, even though we have very different backgrounds. We're very similar with our philosophies and the way we work with energy. So one day I was talking to her, and I said, you know, it would be cool if, because we incorporate our energy work into our coaching sessions just by holding space and stuff. I said, it would be cool if you coached me and we just kind of saw what our energy, like what it brings up. Because we're like, we were in classes together and seminars, and she would say something and I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, we had that kind of connection. So she was like, oh, cool, I'm for that. So we do this coaching session, and I don't even remember like what I originally started talking about. But the next thing I knew, I was actually totally awake. I wasn't in a trance. We weren't in meditation. We were just, you know, two people having dialogue together, having a conversation over the phone. And in my mind's eye, I was completely in that lifetime, the one that I just described. And it was so powerful. I totally felt all of the emotions that, like, and what it started, the vision picked up, or the experience started as I was just getting into the forest. And it continued on until I found my little place where I was setting up home. And I was young. I was really young, you know, like early 20s probably, maybe late teens. And this was, you know, going to be my life. And I knew it then, that I was going to live this very long, secluded life. And I was very sad, but I was so committed to the learning that I made that choice to do that. And I totally, it was, I don't know if I can really express it well enough, that I was just totally in it, and it was really, really powerful. And so it was really cool. So I was, you know, told my colleague, we were both really blown away, and it was just a very powerful experience. And so we were like, okay, we wanted to know what will happen when you and I get together. We're doing past life, you know, regression stuff. And the next day I had a massage scheduled, and I forget what kind of massage it's called, but it's just really intense and Ayurvedic. Is that the word?
Ayurvedic, yeah, that's the word.
Okay. Amazing massage, right? So, and massage is wonderful for releasing stuff, right? Because it's all in our cellular. And at the end of the massage, and, you know, at that point, you're just like in total ecstasy, euphoria. He puts those singing bowls on your tummy, and then he like hits them and, you know, make their noise. And the moment he hit it, this voice in my head just said, you're not that girl in the forest anymore. And like, it all just left in that very moment. It was so powerful, JP. It was really, really amazing. Wow. And since then, I can say, because even though like that whole loneliness kind of feeling and not fitting in feeling was more of a childhood thing. It still was always with me. I think just as an adult, I just learned to deal with it better, and I was able, as an adult, you're able to choose the people that you want to associate with more than you can as a child. So it's a, you know, there's ways you can work around it so it doesn't come up and seem like as much of an issue, but the stuff's all still there. And it just, like, gone. It was just really, really amazing. So that's my story.
Wow. So let's, if we roll back over that, that you had an experience. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about is the connection on a telephone. Like this afternoon, I think that when you're on the telephone with somebody, you are in a trance. It is a trance-like state because I can feel and sense your presence here when I'm talking. I can also sense the vague presence of the audience who I know are listening, you know, and they're all in, like, they're dotted. They're all over the place. That we do have a sense of a presence. And in order to do that, one has to be in some kind of slight trance. That's not a normal perception thing because here I am. I'm sitting in front of a mixing desk and computer screens.
Well, I'll tell you, as in coaching, when the first thing they teach you is, or they don't teach you, but they talk to you about, is choosing to coach in person or over the phone or like via Skype. So, and what is true, and I have totally found it to be true, I prefer coaching over the phone or through Skype, and it's Skype without video. And every client that I've ever worked with, after having the choice, chooses, even if they're like adamant about working initially in, you know, face to face, they think that seems more comfortable. But when they experience it over the phone or through the video, or through Skype without the video, they'll always choose that afterwards because it's, and there's actually like scientific research that have been done around it. That it is that trance kind of thing that you do, you listen better, and because you don't have the distractions. Like right now, I'm talking with my hands, right? I'm Italian, my hands are kind of all over the place. And if we were talking in person, my hands might be distracting you. And so you actually listen better, and that's why it's more dangerous to talk on the cell phone while driving than talking to somebody sitting in your car, because you actually...
Especially if you speak with both hands.
Yeah. If you have a good alignment and a straight road, you're all right.
You know how do Italians use a telephone? You know, what do they talk with?
Well, we have hands free these days, right? You know, that was designed by an Italian somewhere.
Has to be. Awesome. Yeah. So indeed. So we do go into a kind of trance. The audience is also in a kind of trance. People who are listening to it, they may be doing something else, you know, maybe writing, well, not probably writing, but maybe making dinner or, you know, chopping wood. Or chopping wood while listening to Revolution Radio might be difficult. You never know what the people are doing. Some might probably be sitting down munching on snacks. What can I taste? Somebody's eating coconut nibs, yes. Yes, definitely. Oh, lots of sugar. There's a lot of sugar out there. Oh, and you... Oh, look at that. Put those wheaty snacks down, all right? Step away from the wheaty snacks. Get some nuts. Much better.
Well, it's your fault because you brought up the ice cream.
Well, your shows are always about food. But, you know, that, again, links back to this whole, you know, how do we deal with the stuff that we're carrying? Now, I'm overweight, right? I've been overweight all my life. I believe that it's what I was talking about before. They're like little storages of little traumas that I've had that reflect traumas in other lives that I've had to pull through. But the trauma also... All right, and here's the deal. This is why we are all traumatized. Here we are. We're at the time of revelation. This is the revelation. This is why we are all traumatized. they knew that there was evil on the world, on planet Earth. The Guardians, the Friends, the star beings. They knew. But they couldn't see where it was happening. Because of the frequency barrier and all the other interference. Yeah. So they had to do away teams. But the trouble is, as soon as we hit the planet, we get hit by the stupidity ray. Remember what I was saying? We become stupid. There is a field around this planet that makes people stupid. I'm not kidding. And it makes us forget as well. Keeps us forgetting. And so they send all these teams in. Like, nobody comes back, you know, because they've all been kind of trapped in this thing, because you forget. But what happens is that everybody, they need to know what's really going on in the world, what is happening to people. So you get a lot of people who have been through these programs of torture and stuff like that. And this has been going on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And that's because there's evil on this planet. And the people who are perpetrating the evil are carrying it on. And the people who are like the victims of it are not just like kind of ritual fodder. These are light workers. That's who the light workers are. They come in, they go through this. They need to find out what humanity is really like. And so, everybody gets this, you know, pile of toot that we call karma, and we reincarnate, and we're taken into the corrupt world, and we're corrupted, and we go through the whole Dark Lodge scenario, and then, you know, we find a way out the other side. And all of these lifetimes that we go through these things are teaching us about the Dark Lodge. But the teaching has a price, and the price is the trauma that we endure. And so when we come up to a lifetime such as this, a time of reckoning, a time when we can unpack all of this data that we've stored in our bodies through all this trauma, and, you know, basically give reports to the galactics who sent us here, so that we can understand who humans are. That also reveals to the galactics where these people are and what they've been doing, because, you know, we're like tagged, and our timelines are tagged, and they can track us through the timeline tags, and track who's been doing all this evil work throughout history, and round them up and, you know, get them tagged, basically. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's the basic process that has been happening. That I've been going through this afternoon, the understanding of this. I'm probably going to have to reiterate it. What do you think, Michelle?
I think that's a really sad story. That's like, I don't. That's very different. You and I are very on the same page with a lot of things, and that's something. I come from a very different understanding of things than that. And sure.
It's hardcore.
I don't know that, you know, one is right and one is wrong. I don't know if it's that there's different groups that have different experiences, you know.
Oh yes, definitely, definitely. This is certainly it's like a mission. And, you know, they say planet Earth is a mission for a lot of people, because this is what we needed to find out. And the only way to find it out was to actually go through all the traumatic episodes.
See, I really come through the, come from the place that the evil and the suffering in the world is from man. It's not that, you know, we were in, and unless I heard you wrong, but that we were injected into evil. It's that we created this. We're not, it's not something that was put upon us.
All right. But the thing is like somewhere it's got to have started. We have had to invite.
It did. It started with our free will, because we have free will, mm-hmm. and we have the choice, right? We always have a choice. Yeah. So it's we have the choice at any given time to do something that's of the light or something that's of evil. And to me, if it's not of the light, it's of evil. And that's why, you know, things like when I talk about my Facebook post, it was an innocent thing. I don't think I hurt anybody with it, but the way that I work with my consciousness and the expectations that I have for myself and my own growth, I want to be of the light all the time. That's, you know, my intention. And I can't say that, you know, when I put up that post, that me trying to, you know, my intent deep down when I got really honest with myself was I wanted that person to think differently. And I didn't do it in a way that was engaging in conversation, you know, with that person. So to me, that was not of the light.
Thank you, Michelle. We'll be back in not too many beats of your pulsating set-player crystal. Light up. Welcome back. Welcome back to Journeys with JP. With myself. Hang on. Excuse me. With myself, JP, and a slightly tickly throat there, and my evening guest, Michelle Caruso, all the way from New Jersey? Are you in New Jersey?
I'm in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yeah, I don't know anybody from New Jersey that says Joycey, but
actually, it sounds like Joycey. That's an exaggeration of it, but it's there anyway. So here we are. So we were talking, and we were getting to one of the big philosophical nuggets that has plagued humankind, for many thousands of years. And the big question is evil on this planet something that humans have created, or has it come from, is it an intrusion from elsewhere? So that's the debate. That's where it comes from. And so where are you? Maybe we should invite callers and see where they stand on this as well, so that it's not like you know, this is not a gang thing, but what's your feeling? Where is your feeling about this? Because, you know, you're a deeply feeling person, very intuitive. Where do you think it starts?
I truly think that it starts with us. I think that it's a choice that we always have to make, and it's not always a clear choice. And it's easy to get caught up because of what we're made of, right? We're made of emotions and, you know, the mental aspect of ourselves, the emotional aspect of ourselves. This is the things that get us caught up and put distance between us and spirit. And, you know, it's, you know, my experience of communicating with, you know, the spirit and, you know, my guides and, you know, they don't, and archangels and, you know, the beings from the other realms, they don't have this emotional and mental aspect that we have that's human. And they don't get caught up in that, right? So that's why it makes them great guides and great beings to commune with and to support us in getting direction, because they're not caught up in drama stuff. It's easier to stay clear when you're in a pure energy spirit type form. It's in this human body that we, because of what it takes, the components that it takes due to the laws of the universe, that to make up what is a human being, you have to have a mental body, you have to have an emotional body, right? These are aspects along with your physical and your spirituality. These are all these components. And this is where we get all caught up. And what I see in the work that I do is what, I mean, intuitively, I've always felt that, that it was humans that are the cause of the evil on the planet. And as I, you know, grew up and the work that I do, especially, right, doing energy work and doing, you know, transformational deep coaching with people and, you know, really going into those deep places with people and, you know, getting to the underlying things that cause them to make the choices and decisions in life that they do that are not bringing them what they want. And deep down inside, the majority of people, there are exceptions to the rule. And the deep down, most people, they want love, harmony, peace, compassion. I mean, these are all things of the light. This is what people want in their lives. They want abundance. They want success. So all positive things. But they get all distorted from the layers of the emotions and the mental aspects. And when you work through them, when people work through that, they will consistently make choices that bring them more and more and more into the light. And you can take it as deep as you want to go. And so to me, that's my proof, so to speak, of my, you know, my belief, you know, the what I intuitively believe, because I see people that are doing things that are not in what we would call in the light or reflective of the divine aspect of ourselves. And when they work through their own stuff, regardless of what's going on around them, they shift more positive and they put out more positive. And so they're not participating in the evil in the world. They're not part of the problem anymore. They become part of the solution. So to me, it just makes common sense. To me, it's like, logically, I have to say that, yes, we do have the power to eliminate the evil. And I think that there are people that are so twisted, I'm going to be just really blunt, like people that are so twisted that they're not going to get to their light. If it was there, you know, if my theory is right and it is, you know, every one of us has access to it, they're not going to, right? So I'm talking about people like serial killers, pedophiles, you know, people who torture and maim and inflict deep suffering.
Celebrities.
Upon somebody else. Hey, and whoever falls into that category falls into that category. But, you know, the sociopaths, right? So do the sociopaths come from a different stream than we do? I think that that is possible. And then that's where I start thinking that when I hear, like what your explanation is or philosophy is, I can see, well, it is possible, I think, that there are people on the planet that are not quite human as we are. They don't come from the divine essence that we come from. But then a lot of those people, when you look at them and you get down into it, I mean, how many of them have been abused? It's so rare that you hear of somebody that came from a truly stable, and I don't mean just appeared stable, life environment, you know, that just appeared that way on the surface, but I mean a truly deep down, balanced, stable place and ended up totally screwed up and like killing and hurting people and just, you know, complete disregard for other people's well-being. So then it kind of makes me question that. Well, then that it could still be a choice that that person made along the line somewhere. If that all makes sense.
Exactly. This gives rise to the victim-perpetrator argument as well. is that are humans victims of, well, I mean, it's a long, long line. Let's go back a ways, because one of the things you mentioned before is generational abuse. This is something that we're starting to see in the truth movement. People are revealing this, you know, I was abused and I know my grandfather abused my father and all this stuff. And you hear all these stories and they go back and back and back and back and back. And it's like this is a spirit that is reproducing itself, like a self-replicating virus that inhabits the human form, that comes through generations and lives in people's feeling bodies. It's that kind of parasite. And and then in the last, you know, 50, 60, 70 years, we've had beings who are born into these families that receive this kind of bad treatment, but yet don't, because something is strong inside them that refuses to take on the evil.
And
that's what I call the light worker.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to, you know, that goes to what your experience is before here. So just like we bring in our crap from previous lives, right, we bring in our positive experience of life, our previously experiences that were positive. Like when I had my emanations, one of my experiences that came up that was showing up in my life today was I was a rabbi. It was one of my male emanations, and I was a rabbi, and I spoke the word of God through song, and I had a family, and it was, I knew nothing but joy in that lifetime. There was no suffering. There was no pain. It was a completely joyous life. And I am bringing that to this current life also. Right? So, and I see also how that shows up. You know, how I'm always hopeful, and no matter how bad things have ever gotten, I've always known that there's still a light. There's always something positive that I can, there's something better.
That's right. You know? And also, you have a melodic voice.
I do.
Yeah, you sing when you speak. You don't. I mean, I might speak in a monotone, but you have many. You sing. A chazan is. Do you know that word?
No, I don't.
That's the rabbi, the singing part of the rabbi team. There's the cantor and the speaker, and the cantor is the chazan.
I guess I was in previous life.
Yeah.
I was veiled from it in this life.
You should. Do you ever listen to the Klezma?
No.
Check out Klezma. It's traditional Jewish folk music. It's awesome. It's
and
really awesome stuff.
And for those
awesome
that don't
stuff.
Know, Z is Z.
Oh, Z, sorry.
Yeah.
Klezma. For those New Yorkers, those New Jerseyans.
I only found that out recently. I didn't know that you guys pronounce Z.
I know, we say lots of things different. We are a nation, we are a people divided by one single language, as Oscar Wilde said. Because I might say stuff, you know, I'm just popping out for a quick fag behind the sheds. And you take that a very, very different way to how an English person might hear that. You know, to an English person, I've just said I'm just going out for a smoke. To an American, I've just done something incredibly shocking. What? Not in a relationship?
Behind the shed?
Anyway, so...
Can't you at least do it in the shed?
That's right. Okay, so where were we? Klezmer, yeah. So klezmer is Jewish folk music, which I think it would stir your blood. I'll see if I can find some. It's a very joyous music.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, like Celtic music. It's
yeah.
Kind of like a Jewish version of that. Yeah, it's like.
Oh, I love Celtic music.
Yeah, it's sort of, and you know the way that they go that hiddly diddly diddly, the rhythms are different. But they're the almost like the instrumentation is the same and the same kind of mood is. That's what it's, it does the same thing. It comes from a different place. But yeah, and it's on violins and that's why the Jews in Chicago and all that and all these places, that's why they could play the jazz. They were just modifying the klezmer.
Oh, cool. All right, yes, you're going to have to find that for me.
Yeah, that's lovely stuff. So you're always melodic in your voice and so it's very uplifting. It's lovely, as opposed to my voice, which is really dull and slow. You know, it's like,
no, you know, actually, when you were on my show last month, my mom, after the show, I was asking my mom, she always listens, like, what did you think of the show? And she just puts this big grin on. She's like, I love JP's voice. Like, and I was like, I know, we all love your voice, JP. It's like you can say anything and make it just sound like magical and brilliant.
Well, here's the thing. I'm reading some books. All right, I'm reading one book. It was written by one of my guests a few weeks ago, and I've never when I was reading for my son when he was a baby, you know, I was like, I took 3 minutes. I would send myself to sleep, you see. So I've got these bright lights and lots of coffee and gallons of Red Bull injected directly into the back of my neck. Anyway, so I'm reading this book called Atlantis, the Dark Continent. I've been playing it on Wolf Spirit Radio, but you can also download it for free from my website, everbeyondradio.com. You can listen to this book. I mean, it's basically a sort of audio book, but wow. I mean, it's really quite intense, and it's about the nature of how dark magic arrived in Lemuria, in Atlantis from one of the people in the Lemurian team. Lemurians migrated to Atlantis to form the civilizations of Atlantis, and very early on, the dark rituals came in.
Yes, it's a lovely, very intense book.
Yeah.
Very intense.
So I've been reading this, and so anybody who wants to hear me just kind of neutrally read something without my opinion in it, you can hear that, and it's quite intense, it's kind of, I don't know, it's, the pictures are great. You know,
are you just picking random times to read, or are you doing it at a set? Did you give yourself like a slot?
That's a good question, because I basically did it in the idle slots after Sean David Morton show, which is this slot right now. I've got a show that will be being played after this show on Wall Street Radio, which is Andrew Aloha's show. But I might read some after that. But it is basically random times, but I put them all in my archives at everbeyondradio.com. It's easy to find. I've also got some... Hey, you should check out... you know, we talk about this material, shungite, all the time. My girlfriend, Wolf Baby, has been making shungite jewelry that is just... It's stunning.
I have seen the pictures. It is gorgeous. Those pieces she's making are beautiful.
And they're not only beautiful. I mean, some of them are quite large. But they're not only beautiful, but they do stuff. They're like, this material has an incredibly
part of their beauty.
Cool cleansing effect on your aura. So not only do they look beautiful, they are sort of active devices, if you like. If you want to look at it like that, or you can say that it's a connection with Mother Earth and your Earth mind, and you can tap into it through your heart. There's some good stuff, and then of course I've got some pyramids that I've built and some geometric forms. The reason you have geometric forms, one of the reasons that I got them there, but it doesn't say why I've got them there. One of the things is it's a meditational tool. If you have one of these things hanging up on a thread, I supply some fishing line with it, and you can just have it hanging up and watch it as it gently spins. it'll generally rotate, and what you'll get is you'll see the different form making different alignments. Different edges will align with different other vertexes, and mm-hmm. and other shapes and other forms are formed. And then, for instance, you might have a light that shines through it, and so it projects a form onto a wall, and you can see the way that that form changes as well. You can use several to create a really beautiful display that is at once attractive and beautiful. At the other time, it's very meditative, and it gives a room a lovely atmosphere to have one of these things sitting in it. So
I'm just gonna. I think Colleen's asking. Colleen, you won't fall asleep if one of us asks you to read an angel card, will you? So I said, for you, and she said, well, I was thinking about it, but I don't want to put Jay to sleep. So you won't fall asleep, will you?
I won't fall asleep. I don't fall asleep. No, I only fall asleep when I'm reading things aloud, which is, you know, you'll hear me. I try to edit them out afterwards, but, like, you'll hear me. There's these long gaps, and I'm, like, going... I usually fade it down, but I usually go, try to keep myself awake. Fade the mic back up. And then. So let's get Colleen in.
Well, let's do a double. Why don't you do one for her, and I'll do an oracle card for her.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Let's do an oracle bomb on Colleen. There she goes. That's my Skype window. And there you are. Haha. Add to the group call. There you go. She didn't know. Do you know you're on the air now? So yeah, don't forget listener supported stations, hit donate button. If this show is worth a dollar to you, then I do 5 shows a month. Then it's worth $5, isn't it? Definitely worth $5. Colleen, are you there with us yet?
I am, and somehow I knew you guys were going to do that.
Somehow? Well, you asked for it, didn't you?
Well, I said thinking.
Thinking is doing. There ain't no such thing as an idle thought, says
there ain't.
Head. Theodore Olson used to come to my jam sessions every Friday night. He was... steaming drunk American guy from Minnesota, and he would come in really howling, and you know he'd bring a 12 pack of beer with him, like, and he's already had one of them, you know, he's already had one crate of 12. So he would come in, and it was always when the music got to a really good pitch, it got to, you know, we got a good stomp going, and then he would come in and grab the microphone and said, there ain't no such thing as an evil thought. No, ain't no thing as an idle thought. You know, what else was he saying? I'm done with this people thing. You know, anybody who's heard the tapes will recognize this one. Anyway, so ain't no such thing as an idle thought. So if you're thinking something, then you've done it. In some parallel universe, there was a Colleen who called into the show. But in this universe, we preempted that caller, Colleen, call it Kelly, and we called Colleen Kelly. And again, I'd like to thank you for all of the work that you've done in the last 3 months for Wolf Spirit Radio. You've become our second producer, and you have a show period on Tuesday nights on Wolf Spirit Radio. Do you want to tell people about what sort of shows you're going to have, or that you do have?
Okay. Well, one of the shows, let me get my schedule up as a quick reminder. Okay, let's see. I do Tracy's Turtle Island News, and after that is Dolly's Read for You. Dolly reads all kinds of interesting books. And then I have Patty Walking Turtle. I do a relay of her Turtle Talk show. And now I have in the works a show that's called The Grandmothers Speak, where mothers and grandmothers can get together and talk about a lot of the things that's going on, how it's affecting our children, our grandchildren, and hopefully we have generations to come, and see if we can come up with some solutions, because we are a solution-based radio station. And then at 6 o'clock Pacific time, Nancy Hopkins and Walt Silva are doing their new cosmic reality show, which is very, very interesting. All kinds of topics. Nancy can talk about just about anything, intelligently. And I'm really, really glad to have her with us. And then at 8 o'clock Pacific time, I do a pre-recorded Haggie's Bedtime Stories, which I'm new at this, but I'm doing the voices too. So that's
They're
an
brilliant.
Experience.
I have to say, those voices cracked me up because you've been using your audio software. So one of the things is, on a Friday, the last few weeks, I've been doing a sound clinic, which is basically training people how to use sound recording software to make your own radio shows. And because Colleen is you know, pretty much further down the line than most of us, she's started a project, and she's been reading this book for years and years and years to all her grandchildren and her children and everything, and it's got various characters, and so she's been using the pitch shifter to shift her voice up and down to make the different voices, and it's absolutely hilarious. I think you've done a brilliant job, Colleen. I think it's just like I can't bless you enough for it, because it's so funny, and the way you've done it is just, you've done really, really well, and this is like your first project, so I really look forward to seeing, you know, what's going on in the future for your audio experiences. But all the while, you've been producing on Wall Spirit Radio, and so after 6, what happens?
After 6? Well, after 8, at Haggie's Read for You, that's from 8 to 9, because if they're, I'm doing little 30-minute shows there. And after 9... we generally then kind of switch over and relay Awake Radio from, well, they have one in the UK and Awake Radio in the US, and they have a lot of interesting shows on there that I think our listeners would appreciate listening to. And that's where that stands right now. And I also want to say, not to toot my horn, but to toot my horn, that some of the voices are not touched by technology. Those come out of me, and that surprises me immensely.
You know, it's probably something that you've been doing all these years without realizing it, is that you would naturally take on the different characters as you were reading it. If you've read something a load, you know, it's like a Shakespeare play. You eventually get to know the character inside, and you say it the way they really would say it.
Well, yeah. Now, I have to say that from time to time, used to, you know, back in the days of little answering machines, you know, when you had the little phones that hung, well, we in the U.S. had phones that hung on the wall, and I put a little message that was from Nellie Beth, who was like 4 years old, and I used her little voice on there, and then I had a little old woman that used to sit around with her bottom lip sticking out, and she would talk sometimes. So I guess that some of those have resided somewhere in me, for, you know, from the storytelling years and years.
Your characters.
But, yeah, you know. And people say it's, you know, like different personalities of mine, and I don't think that they're, I don't know, I may rethink that. But I just think they're different aspects, because I don't think we're all the same person all the time.
That's right. You know, and like we've been saying on the show, we have these connections between our present lives and our past lives that are much more real than we imagined, and that we get hurt in our childhood in the way that we were hurt in these previous lives, as a kind of trigger to be able to deal with it in the end. And here we are at the end. This is the time of revelation where we're seeing that we're finally, these things are being revealed to us, and we're finally understanding why these things have happened to us. So let me just look at the cards that you have, my dear, because while you were talking, I pulled out a couple of cards, and the first card that I pulled out with, I pulled out with the deck, was the Angel of Understanding. Which is the ability to include a much deeper comprehension of life in your interaction rather than simply transferring your knowledge from one experience to another. Does that make sense?
I'm pondering, yes.
So, transferring your knowledge from one experience to another, or include a deeper comprehension of life, so you see it in terms of the picture. So, more or less what I just said. act with sincerity and empathy. And those are the qualities of really when you understand something, you are, that's understanding and empathy is the same thing, really, in my heart. In terms of human understanding or humane understanding, we're not talking about the legal definition of standing under, but the idea that you really accept somebody in your heart and understand them and know how they feel because of the things that have happened to them, and you know, empathy, knowing where they're at, and sincerity is, you know, again, it's the same part of being open in the heart. It's all about that. Understanding is really something that happens in the heart rather than something that happens in the brain.
Right.
And as I was the other card popped out, and it seemed to be quite relevant as well, and the word was depth. So again, pay attention to what is beneath the threshold of awareness. Right, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? The threshold of awareness. What we see every day, what we're aware of as in our day-to-day lives, there's also things that happen underneath. Things, cupboards that contain skeletons, a chest that contain treasure. All of those things exist below the surface. You know, treasure is always buried, isn't it? As are grief and pain and all of those negative things. So you never know what you're going to dig up, but it's good to dig it up because it clears the pathways.
Okay.
Yeah, so diving below surface appearances and responding to what is really going on. So it's a call to it's really a call to step back and not to react with instant judgment or anger or something like that. Does that help? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Has our blood pressure been affected recently? Yes, it's chill. Take a chill pill.
Yeah. Well, you know it has from time to time.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, and that Irish temper sometimes just stands right up.
Yeah, and sometimes the Irish temper is a little too quick to make judgments, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I admit it.
That's the way it goes. So what are the Italians like with the quick judgment, Michelle?
The Italians with quick judgment? They're pretty good at it. I think most people are. Right?
Is it? Well, I mean, you know, because we're talking about the Irish having a reputation for being like, oh yeah, you know, taking insult quite quickly.
I'll punch you in the ear.
Yes, or the face, you know. I'll punch you in the
but
the face.
Anything but Italians are very apt and skilled at getting over it very quickly, unless you've crossed some kind of line. Right, so like unless you've done something that's, you know, to them unforgivable, then
disrespect my mama.
Yeah, you don't want to get that kind of a place, right? But most of the little day-to-day things, they get over them pretty quickly. They're very loud and boisterous about it, but they get over them quick. You know, it was funny because when I moved up to New York State, because I live about 10 minutes outside New York City, and it was funny, I was just talking with somebody over the weekend who was telling me, you know, you're such a nice person and you're platinum blonde and you're from Bergen County, New Jersey, and they're just not nice, you know, people are just not nice around there, and especially the platinum blonde ones, you know. And it's true, right, because it's like people in this area really come off have a tendency to be very aggressive in the way they come off and confrontational. So that's what I grew up around, and being Italian, so that's how I was. I was that way. And when I moved up to upstate to New York, like, people were very overwhelmed, and I had to change because people could not deal with it. Here, when you're in your element, it's just kind of normal and people accept it. But when you step out of here, it's very overwhelming for people. Then you can see the contrast. But, like, before that, to me, I never thought of myself or the people I was around as really aggressive or confrontational. To me, it was just normal. But this is how people were.
It's the environment which you grow up in. We all grow up in different environments and expect everybody else's experience to be the same.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody else's family is weird. Let me just tell you, both brothers and sisters, my family was normal and everybody else's was weird. What about you? Or is it me? No, it's true. What we see as normal might not necessarily be normal to others. For instance, if you generate energy from certain rituals that happen, and suddenly somebody says, oh, let's take this rabbit and use the energy from this rabbit, and it's like, oh, well, that's normal, you know, that's, we do this all the time at home, but hang on a second, I don't know, actually makes me feel sick, can you stop that? Yeah. No, we do it all the time, and then the whole cycle starts, and it's all about how, what people are used to, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Greenheart, because Greenheart is also from Bergen County, and so he knows what I'm talking about. But and we're very close. Like, you can, the whole 9/11 thing. He's just mentioned 9/11 and how, because I would always, I would come the highway when I lived upstate. I would come down to go, you know, visit home, and you had this perfect clear view of, you know, the Empire State, the skyline with the World Trade Center. And so it's still to this day, it's weird not seeing it there. But Carlene, do you want me to give you a little reading? I pulled a couple cards for you already, but if you want to ask something specific, you can.
And just go ahead.
Okay. Well, all right. So just so you know, I like this Oracle deck by John Holland called the Psychic Tarot. And I was shuffling the cards for you, and the Truth card fell out. And I chose and then I picked the Obstacles and Challenges card. So to give you a little visual, the Truth card is a man standing, and he's got a wand in his hands. He's kind of a mystic or like a wizard, and he's standing on like a scale, and he's looking out a arched window out into the universe. And that's a major arcana card. And the Obstacles and Challenges is it's an image of you see the bare feet of somebody, and they're walking on, it's a little dark in my room, so to get all the details of it, but they're walking across, a bridge that's over a canyon with a stream down below, and they're really high up, and it's broken. And then there's this bright light ring around it with all of these glowy spheres. And that's a 5 card, and the Truth card is a 20 card, if you like the numbers. But what these two cards together are basically saying is that you are in a place of, you have some obstacles and challenges in front of you now. We all do, I'm sure. But you are in a place where you are, by balancing your spiritual essence with your physicality, you're very much equipped to very easily see the big picture of these challenges that are around you, and that's really the Am I breaking up?
Yeah. You know, where it gets all
up. Is it better now?
It's better now.
Okay. Do you need me to repeat?
Would you please?
Okay. From the start, from the beginning?
From where you had explained what the cards looked like and stuff, and then you went into, I'm equipped.
Okay.
And then you started.
Okay. So the truth card is, really illustrates spiritual awakening, clarity. It's about truth coming up, which is what JP, if you were listening to me on the show, JP was saying that this is a time for our truths, our submerged truths to come up and to surface. So mm-hmm. you're very much in that place, and it's almost it's a bit of a wake-up kind of call kind of place to be. And so to get through this, and it's calling for change to be made on your part. And so to get through that, you want to blend your, the spirituality with the physical. So it's finding that balance. And like I said, he's standing on a scale. He's looking out into the universe. It's standing in that balanced place of your power of the physicality of you and also the power of the spiritual essence of you and bringing them together. And when you combine that with the obstacles and challenges, through this, and it's calling for change to be made on your part. And so to get through that, you want to blend your, the spirituality with the physical. So it's finding that balance. And like I said, he's standing on a scale. He's looking out into the universe. It's standing in that balanced place of your power of the physicality of you and also the power of the spiritual essence of you and bringing them together. And when you combine that with the obstacles and challenges, what that does is it puts you in a place to be able to see the big picture around your obstacles and challenges so that you can get the learning that you need to get for your spiritual progression, because you are going through another layer of spiritual awakening right now. So it's like you're shedding a layer. And that's always a really exciting time. And it always comes with its challenges. And so that's really what it's about. The dealing with these obstacles and challenges and difficulties that you might be experiencing, it's you in your best interest to really be in that balanced, centered place of all of your powers, of all the aspects, of all the things that you've learned about yourself over the years, and bringing them forth into the presence and standing in that center of it, and also allowing yourself to be open to receive, even greater wisdom than you already have attained. And using that will help you to get through this difficult time. So then I asked, well, what is the outcome going to be? And you got the light card, which is like the best card in the deck. And it's this woman, and she's just surrounded by light, and her hands are, it really gets me like touched. Her hands are just gracefully, very feminine, just reaching up to the sky, and there's just beams of light coming out of her and stars all around her, just big glowy stars. And that really is saying that, and they do say in the deck is actually calls this the most positive card in the deck. And, so this is all about, pleasure, happiness, growth, success, illumination. It's about, it's representative of a kind of a new birth, which coincides with what the other two, what the other two cards were saying, that this is a new, this is a bit of a transformation, an expansion or ascension, if you want to call it, that you're going through, spiritual ascension. And so you, the cards are saying that you will embrace this moment in the power that you need to be in, and you will create the most positive outcome for yourself.
Cool. Now, I have to say, you know, that I have neglected my spiritual work for quite a while now. Quite a while. And I know that I need to get back into all that. And I guess I've just let a lot of other things take priority.
I disagree, Colleen.
Oh.
You're doing your spiritual work.
Okay.
This is it.
This is it.
This is it. You don't need to meditate if you're doing this.
Huh.
Maybe it's a state of meditation that you go in when you Skype or use, you know, you talk to people on telephones. But there is spiritual work that you're doing. You know, there's spiritual healing that goes on when you talk to people.
Well, what do you mean by that, Colleen? That you're, that you, what's going on that you feel that you've gotten away from your spiritual work?
Well, for instance, there was a period of time when I meditated for hours every day. And that is when I would get the visions, that were kind of looking to me, they were looking into the future. And it always came about, and sometimes I found out that what I had seen or heard, I would find out that that was true within maybe as short as an hour, and sometimes it would be 2 weeks. That's what I was saying with my spiritual, and you know, I used to study Paramahansa Yogananda's self-realization stuff and all that. And I haven't done that in quite a while. That's what I meant by that.
Let me ask you, when you were doing that work, when you were more focused in that work, what was going on in your physical life? Like in the physicality?
Well, one, I was living, the last time I was living in, right outside Sedona, I was married. And working, and I had the vision of my daughter having her wreck, and she had the wreck. And then we moved back here, and of course life changed, just, you know, because you're back home, starting really all over again with a new house and getting settled and a new job and all that sort of thing. And then my mother got ill, and just lots of things, and I divorced my husband, and just a lot of things changed at that point. And I guess, you know, at that point there just wasn't time. And then as time went on, time went on, I just didn't get back into all of that.
Because what I'm picking up is that there has been a need for more focus to your physical life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like almost like that was a little bit lacking, your focus there. And so, and maybe it's not lacking, but maybe these shifts and changes needed to come, and so that it's more about that it needed more of your focus in the physical world. And so kind of like what JP's saying, like this is part of the process. A lot of times we think, like, because we're not doing something that we think we should be or things aren't a certain way, that we're off track, but we're actually really right where we need to be. It's we needed to go through that so that we could get to the next step. And I feel that it was, I don't feel that you neglected your spirituality. I feel like you needed to kind of shift the way that you were approaching life. And part of that, for whatever reason, was decreasing what you were doing. And so what I really feel, and this is partly, you know, my intuition and also partly through what the cards are saying about bringing, it's that truth card is really calling for you to bring your spirituality and your physicality together. And so it's almost like sometimes we need to break away from something and then kind of emerge ourselves into something else and then come back and bring those two things together and then figure out how do these things work together. And does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because so I mean, and I have feel. I have to admit that I have a tendency to really like tunnel visionly focus, if those are words, in on whatever it is I'm doing. You know, it's right. I become obsessed.
So that
and
can
often
be a negative,
to the exclusion of everything else.
But that could be a negative or it can be a positive depending on how you look at it. So if you really need, sometimes you really need to put focus into something, and so that having that ability is really useful, right? So you've had all this change go on in your life, you know, in this recent period. And so I would see how, yeah, that would require a lot of attention and focus there to keep you in a good place and to keep everything in order. And because you're responsible for a lot of people, not just yourself. And so, and animals, right? You have a lot of responsibilities, people that depend on your need for, you know, your care. So you might have needed that. But now that might be what I'm kind of, and this is a little bit guessing, you know, putting it together. I don't know how much of it's intuition, but it's feeling like part of your, because the cards are also talking about another spiritual awakening that you're having. So by bringing these two areas together now, using what you've learned in both the physicality and what you've learned in the past of the spirituality, the step that I would take is, because I'm all about meditation. I think everybody should meditate every day. I think it's the best thing we can do for ourselves. But we don't always do it, right? And so what I would ask your higher self, your guides, you know, whoever it is that you feel comfortable to turn to for wisdom, open yourself and ask, what's the best step for me to bring my spirituality back into my life, if that's what you're looking for and that's what you want to do? Because I am feeling that it's going to be different than the way that you did it before, because you've grown and you've evolved, so now your spiritual work is going to grow and evolve.
Right, right. Well, you know, and I know that one of the things is, you know, the hours and hours that I spent meditating, often I can get into that within just a few minutes.
That's right. You don't need to spend hours and hours getting to that state, because that's why you did hours and hours. It's like flight time. You know, it's like learning how to fly. You have to spend a certain amount of time in the cockpit actually to learn how to be a pilot. It's being in that place that learns you how to do it, that teaches you how to do it. And so there you are. So now you're able to focus very quickly. And what I'm about to say to you is that your spiritual path is going, is integrating, and it will be your Sabbath day will be your Tuesdays, because this is the work that you're doing is now going to express into what you present on the radio. That will be your spiritual expression.
I totally feel that.
And you might want more than a day.
Yeah.
Because you really are.
This
is a very spiritual thing, because you are doing now what you love. You know, I mean, you put in a tremendous amount of work and effort into this show, and now you're adding in your own shows, or I should say it's a show in this, into the station, and then now you're putting in your own show. So this really, it does really seem that this is evolving as an expression of your heart and soul. Mm-hmm. So, like, what JP's saying there really rings true for me, too.
We're all on a journey. Journeys with JP, journeys with Rebecca, journeys with Michelle Caruso, journeys with Colleen Kelly. Thank you very much, sisters and brothers. The Grandmother's Revolution is upon us. I love you all. Good night.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.